हरे कृष्णा. सो द होल आइडिया हिज होलीनेस राधाना स्वामी महाराज टोल्ड टू मेक अस अंडरस्टैंड दैट द साउंड ऑफ द होली नेम इज अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट प्रिंसिपल इन कलियुगा, द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट प्रिंसिपल ऑफ कलियुगा. एंड द साउंड सिस्टम इज द वन विच ब्रॉडकास्ट इट टू रीच एवरीबडी. And the more effective the sound system is, the more effect is. The way the lectures are heard and the way the sound of the kirtan is broadcasted, all that depends, all that decides the audience, how they will receive and how they will respond and how they will practice in their life. The most beautiful lecture is given and then there's a lot of ki, ko, ka, ko, and the sound goes up and down. So, however best the message is, it will never reach the heart of people. It will keep disturbing your consciousness. So, when sound system is at the best performance, then it, even crow can sound like a cuckoo bird. That is my experience when I sing. When I get good sound system, it sounds very beautiful. That is what sound system can do to people and add value and effect to the speech in the hearts of people. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he has given very deep training in this philosophy of sound system to the devotees of Radha Gopinath Mandir. Very deep meaning means what? Deep training means what? Lot of chastisement. That is called deep training. That's why everybody is on toe as far as sound system is concerned in Radha Gopinath temple. It has to be always in update condition. There cannot be any flaw in that. It will not be accepted. So always you will find three brahmacharis sitting next to sound system. Constantly managing the volume. If somebody says, you know, Maharaj suddenly says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The sound goes loud, so immediately they'll put it low. Again they'll put it high. Again, kirtan they'll put it low. Lecture they will rise. All kinds of instant management they will do, sitting right there only. There's nothing like something happens and somebody goes there and then starts correcting it, again goes back, and then again something happens. Again somebody comes. It's not like that. It's always instant. Similarly, such sounds in today's day are very disturbing. The transmission of transcendental knowledge. So everybody please either switch off your mobiles or put them on silent mode right now. Otherwise, they will keep disturbing you during our discourse also. So that is why all of us need to understand this principle of sound. Because the whole the creation has also come about by sound only. The first principle that was broadcasted was sound. And through that sound, all those 14 planetary systems, they have come into being. From the sound came the space, from space came the fire, from fire then came water, and from first fire, then air, then water, then earth, matter. And then after that, all the living beings were manufactured, not living beings, their bodies, a combination of all these five elements. But the most important principle of all this creation is sound. That's why even to attain perfection is also what is most important principle is sound. And that is why Sri Krishna has chosen to appear in sound in this age. And through sound only he wants you to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the power of sound. No one can ever underestimate the power of sound. A sound can actually purify your existence, help you to get detached from the material entanglements, and establish your connection with the Lord directly. This is all only through the power of sound. No other method in Kali Yuga or any other Yuga. Sometimes we think that it's only in Kali Yuga that sound is most important. But sound is important in Satya Yuga, as well in Trita Yuga, as well in Dwapar Yuga, as well in Kali Yuga. The holy name of Lord Ram was equally important in Trita Yuga when Hanumanji was there. All of you know. It's not that only in Kali Yuga, Ram and Krishna's name have become suddenly important. They were always important. They were always the most effective methods of connecting with the Lord. But some other methods also were prominently available that time. But sound never lost its position. It appears most prominent because all other procedures are almost impossible to perform. So it like appears to be the only one. But it was always there. Even when Hanumanji was there, the holy name, so many stories are there of the holy name. He heard the powerful holy name being chanted in Lanka also. So he was searching and he found it was Vibhishan's house where the holy name was being chanted. Like that, so many stories are there. So we cannot ever take this sound for granted of the holy name and cannot ever underestimate it or minimize it for that matter. Because we may have so many disqualifications, so many deficiencies. English is okay, na? Everybody? So many deficiencies and discrepancies and faults which may finally make us ineligible to understand scriptures, do anything on a spiritual platform, do anything. It will may disqualify us. But the sound of the holy name will give you all that qualification. All that you miss, all that you don't have in the form of qualifications in bhakti will be awarded to you through the sound of the holy name. That's why we are very hopeful that we may not have any qualifications. In Kali Yuga, we all are very, very small in life. Lifetime is very small. There are no good qualities available. Everybody is fighting with one another. Everybody is unfortunate. Everybody is dull in intelligence and in receiving things. Very dull-headed. So, in so many disqualifications, it appears very hopeless actually. That how will people of Kali Yuga will make any progress towards the Lord. But holy name of the Lord will surpass all these deficiencies and make full number one very qualified. Why? Because it will give even a full number one instant connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While a learned man, after reading scriptures for whole life, dedicating his life for scripture reading, still may not be able to connect. A person doing tapasya for hundreds of years in Himalayas still may not be able to connect with the Lord. Scriptures say that even hundreds of lifetimes one performs tapasya, he may not be able to get to see a ray coming from the toenail of Krishna. While there are unlimited rays coming out of toenails of Krishna, which enlighten, which light, lit, what do you call, give light to the world. Even then, he may not be able to see one ray also. And those who perform Siddhi Yoga may be having so many qualifications of mystic powers with them. They will never connect with Krishna. Because Siddhi is not the way to connect with Krishna. But somebody is low in intelligence, dull-headed, somebody is full of all faults, lazy, short-lived. So many things may be there. Attached, fully engrossed in material sense gratification. Even he will be able to connect with the holy name. Easily. The way holy name is that no one can say that I cannot chant. You can say I will not chant. I don't want to chant. But you cannot say I cannot chant. That is the glory of the holy name. It has been made in such a way that anybody can chant. Poor or the rich, or beautiful or ugly, or educated or uneducated, rich or the poor, opulent or very poor, or sick or healthy, all situations, young or old. You can go on considering all diverse situations of life. Person who has a lot of opportunities or no opportunities, all kinds of diverse conditions of life, still one can chant the holy name of the Lord. That is the beauty of the holy name. And what the holy name can do, no other methods can do. For example, karma kand cannot do that, what holy name can do. Gyan kand, acquiring knowledge, will give you great detachment, but doesn't guarantee you that it will give you attachment to Krishna. It can give if one perseveres, but per se, knowledge cannot give you attachment to Krishna. It may give you inspiration, but attachment to holy name, to Krishna, knowledge merely cannot give you. Your austerities will purify you of sinful activities, but may make your heart hard-hearted. It may make you hard-hearted, may make your heart very hard, if it is done only tapasya. Then so many things are there. You go to holy places and you take bath in the river. It may again free you from all sinful activities. No guarantee of connection with the Lord. Then you may go donations and you give charity. You will get freed from the effect of money, which has some connotations like sins and bad means or wrong sources or wrong kind of work or participating in wrong project or wrong company, earning your money. That money, when you donate, the money will get purified and some purification of life will come, but will not give you connection with the Lord. And the desire one has to enjoy separate from the Lord, which is the root cause of all sufferings in the material world, can never go away with all these means. Charity, visiting holy places, taking bath in the river, performing vratas, reading scriptures, so many things are there. None of them will rid you of the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. There's a desire, then there is a proclivity, tendency of doing that, and then the seed, which is not manifested yet in the action, but the seed, then the proclivity, that means the tendency to perform sinful activities, tendency to enjoy separately from the Lord, and then comes the action itself, papa. And then comes the reaction of the pap. And then comes the suffering. Let's repeat again. There is a seed to enjoy separately from the Lord. Then there is a, because of seed, there is a proclivity. Proclivity means tendency to do those things, desiring and enjoying separately from the Lord. Then there is actual action, which is separate from the Lord, enjoying separately from the Lord. Then that action apparently may be looking good also. When you do activities without considering Lord in between, it may not be always bad. It's just for doing for the self, not for the Lord. But in technical terms, even those are considered to be sinful activities because they are not meant for the Lord. So you may think, I'm doing a great activity of giving somebody something, but if I is in between, it still goes in the category of sins. And it gives you then reactions. What to speak of direct bad activities like adultery and sinful activities like eating meat and gambling. What to speak of those jaganya sinful activities? They directly yield bad results. But even other so-called good activities also yield bad results because of the disconnection of those activities from the Lord. And then because of those activities, so-called good and bad yield some reactions, and those reactions in the end result in suffering only. Good activities also end up in finally in suffering. Initially giving you some titillation of enjoyment, but finally resulting into misery. And bad activities do end up in misery directly also. Now all this vicious cycle is there, and people are trying to break this cycle by charity, visiting holy places and doing some seva, some anathashram, some this thing, some that thing. But it will never ever cure you of the tendency to enjoy separately from the Lord, and will never uproot the seed which is there inside to enjoy separate from the Lord. No other activity. Rupa Goswami very clearly mentions in Nectar of Devotion that no activity can rid you of that seed and the proclivity. So only the holy name of the Lord can go to that level, penetrate to that level and uproot the seed only. And when the seed of desire of separate enjoyment from the Lord goes away, then devotion springs out of the heart. Because the seed is covering that, your original tendency of serving the Lord. And that seed, when it goes, then only your devotion actually begins. Like in medicine we say that, you know, he has got such bacterial infection that the antibiotic is not reaching to that level. Sometimes in tuberculosis we say that the antibiotic is not reaching the cellular level of bacteria. It's not breaking the bacterial wall. So then we have to find out an antibiotic which can penetrate all through the tissues and attack the bacteria. So that's why we change the antibiotic. The highest antibiotic, then it can go to the right place and penetrate and kill whatever you want to kill. Similarly, all these methods are impenetrable. They don't penetrate. The holy name penetrates right inside the root of the disease and relieve you. It's like we have a big tree and we keep cutting it, all time keep cutting it, and we make it absolutely flat on the ground. When the rainy season comes, again some leaves start coming up. And if you give some more time, again it will have small branches and again the tree will start forming. Why? Because only you have removed the trunk. What about the roots? They are so deep. So to really remove the tree, you have to dig inside the ground and remove all the roots and uproot it. So holy name is like that. Holy name removes all the roots also, all the seeds also. And that's how we get freed. That's why we have to respect this sound very much in life. Hare Krishna. Jai Gurudev. So all of us need to take this sound very seriously. And this sound is so important that Kali Yuga mein it is said that no one can perform any austerities. Who can go to Himalayas? Who can live there in diverse temperatures or whatever, extremes of temperatures? Who can survive there and perform spiritual activities? Who can give up family, who can give up money, who can give up the city temptations of family life? No question of any austerities. What to speak of acquiring knowledge? After one page we turn from Bhagavatam, immediately Nidra Devi is completely upon you. You know, it's like a sleeping pill. That's why it is said that to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively 16 rounds is the highest form of austerity in Kali Yuga. Highest form of austerity. Jokes apart, it's a very serious matter. Because who can concentrate on the holy name? Minds are so distracted, you know. Life is so distracted. So many things are happening around you. So many things are sucking you constantly. So many things are pulling you out. The greatest thing which pulls us away from the sound of the holy name is mobiles and WhatsApp and what do you call social media, Facebook, Twitter. I don't know what next is there in that. I have not reached such higher levels. But so many things are there. So many things are there. Just right from the first thing in the morning, honestly cross your hearts and ask yourself, what do you do the first thing in the morning? People immediately check WhatsApp messages and emails and Facebook updates, whatever. There was a joke that, you know, somebody was dying, he just fell from some place and was dying. And just before dying, he wanted to update his status, I'm dying, on WhatsApp and on Facebook. I'm just dying. This is my last status. It's a joke, but there is a lot of truth in that, substance in that. We are just sold out to those things, which are so much distracting us. So even in today's times, even for sincere devotees, also, you can sit up over here. Please sit up here. I want to see you while talking. So sit here. There's a pillow and this. So, even though one is a initiated devotee and he is for many years trying to chant, many years initiated, we are not also free from the influence of this technology. Everybody is updating his status constantly. And what is happening is, our attention which belongs to Krishna and to his holy name is taken away from Krishna and holy name. All our chanting, 2 hours are totally distracted with this kind of ting-tong, ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. So many messages are having so many sounds. Now SMS, then mail, then WhatsApp, then this, then that, then Facebook. So many different tones are there and they keep telling you, I'm coming, I've come, please look at me. And what is not attended to is the holy name. We're supposed to be attended to with full concentration at that time. So in Kartika, I told many devotees that you can take a vow that when I chant in Kartika, I will not look at the mobile. How difficult it was, you know. So you can give up all kinds of sweets, all kinds of ice creams, all kinds of fried things which you love to eat. You can give everything, but it's just so difficult to do this. But it rewards also when you do this. It rewards you. Unless one is a doctor and he has some emergencies and some things are happening, life-saving measures are there. So he has to. Emergencies can come any time in medical life. That is, we can say understood, you can understand it. But otherwise, we are just simply tempted to all that. So again, the very merciful form of the holy name of the Lord, which has come to us to rescue us from these fallen conditions, with these newer and newer distractions which are coming up in life, which were not there before. If this has come, the holy name has come to rescue us from all these, and that holy name also is not attended to properly, then what hope remains? What can be there to save us? What more things can be devised by Sri Krishna? He has done the ultimate favor to us by coming to us in the form of holy name. Ultimate favor he has done. And then he doesn't expect that you should be very renounced and very knowledgeable and very learned in scriptures and you are very austere in nature and you are very charitable and you are very sincere and very pure-hearted. He's not expecting all that. He just says that you just chant my holy name and all that you desire to attain will be attained by just chanting the holy name of the Lord. And we have to consider this very seriously. After 10 years of spiritual life, after 20 years of spiritual life, after 30 years of spiritual life, and after 40 years of initiation, still you have to keep telling yourself that chanting of the holy name attentively is a very important principle in life. Even if you tomorrow become guru and have disciples, still you have to remind yourself that chanting of the holy name is a very important principle of spiritual life. You can't say I am a guru and I have so many disciples, I have so many problems and always I am handling emergencies and inspiring people. Still, for even that person who has got hundreds of disciples looking up to him and depending on him for so many guidances, for him also, finding that time in the morning to chant 16 rounds of the holy name is very important. May it be my guru or your guru. They also have to fulfill the daily requirement of chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That mandate will never be given discount to anybody for that matter. I cannot say because now I am guru and now I have got 5,000 disciples, so I don't need to chant, I just need to give association to people. You cannot do that. That is why Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, His Holiness, even in his most painful condition of melanoma, melanoma is very fast growing cancer that is known. Very fast growing, unbelievable fast growing is that cancer. And most painful when it grows. It's a very maddening cancer actually. Cannot imagine how much pain must be there. But even that in that pain, he would chant every day 42 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because he was chanting that before also, for many, many years. So he thought, that commitment to holy name, I don't want to give up even though I am sick. So sometimes it would, before he was all right, healthy and very strong, it would take him maybe 6 hours or whatever, 5.5 hours, 6 hours. But after his disease, he was so much in pain and so much of body was so much fragile, it would take him sometimes 8 hours. But still slowly, slowly struggling, he would chant. And then he couldn't chant 40 rounds anymore. The 16 rounds would take him sometimes 3 to 4 to 5 hours. But still, in that painful condition, skin and bone only, his photographs also, he would chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. It is said Prabhupada would chant 64 rounds every day. This is what I heard, because his Gurudev gave initiation for what? For 64 rounds. At the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, it was considered anybody chants one round less than 64 was considered to be fallen. In that era he was initiated. So supposedly he was chanting 64 rounds. Then I don't know exactly what happened later on, but how much time he would give to chant Hare Krishna. In the early morning when devotees were sleeping, he would chant his rounds. So he didn't say, now I am Prabhupada, now I don't need to chant. Now I am chanting always, all the time I am chanting. In the background of my mind, always I am chanting. He didn't say that. He chanted obviously in front of devotees. He performed obvious sadhana, visible sadhana, not ekanta sadhana. Ekanta sadhana also was doing, but he was also doing obvious visible sadhana in front of devotees. That's why he could maintain his composure in Krishna consciousness. It's not easy to go to Western world and preach amongst all the arrangement or situations over there. So many conditions he had gone through. Court cases, fightings, attacks of people. Only on the strength of his attachment to the order of Gurudev and on the strength of holy name, he managed everything. So holy name is very important in all the conditions of life. Can never neglect it. We have to give utmost importance of the holy name of the Lord and give the topmost priority in the day to the activity of chanting this holy name of the Lord. Then we can say that we are serious sadhakas, and then that all that you need in life to progress in Krishna consciousness, maybe you will need some intelligence to understand scriptures, maybe you will need some desire and determination to follow four regulative principles, maybe you will need determination to eat only prasad and not anything outside, you may need learned situation to do deity worship of the Lord. All this will come only through the chanting of the holy name. And all this will be maintained also through chanting of the holy name only. And all things, this will appear to be falling off from you when you give up chanting of the holy name of the Lord. It's like that. So let us all take this holy name very, very seriously in our life. And that's why we respect the speaker. Because the speaker is the magnifier and amplifier of the holy name of the Lord and of the message of the Lord which is delivered by saintly personalities. That's why the speaker is a very important item in Krishna consciousness. That is why we need to worship it and keep it in a very respectable position, even though it is dysfunctional at some moments of time, some hours of the day it is lying somewhere, not on. Still it has to be respected and maintained nicely with dust off everything and cover nicely. Keep it in well-maintained condition, in functional condition, and always keep it above the level of people so that people can properly receive the sound vibration in the form of message of the Lord, in the form of the holy name of the Lord. Now shall I begin my lecture? Hare Krishna. So is there any questions I would like to answer? I'm very happy to be amongst you and very honored. It's my great fortune to be with you here. Yes, Prabhuji, you have some question?
Prabhuji, we see the youth today, they're all distracted and their minds are not focused anywhere. So how should we approach them for preaching purposes and how should family values play a role in that?
How many are youth here? Hare Krishna. Today's youth is so much distracted with so many things. And the most distraction is because of Western influence. The Western world has played such a huge role in our minds. The way we dress up, the way we talk, the way we keep our hair, keep our whatever beard, or pants, or shirts, or t-shirt, the way we eat, the way we talk, the way we have habits, whatever we do, the way we behave with friends in opposite sex, in colleges, in schools, on the road, in get-togethers, is all pure Western influence. And the misery is that these days I speak about it regularly, about it, which really worries me and pinches me, is that no student is coming out of the school with pride in Indian culture and pride in what India has to offer you, or proud to be a Hindu or proud to be an Indian. He never doesn't come out of that school. Neither the home situations or the school situations or the national situations are making you feel at the time of graduation from the school to be a proud Hindu or proud Indian or a proud whatever culture we have. All of us come out of the school only with one thought, that I should become as Western as possible. And with a great pride in that, the more Western you are in your thoughts, in your actions and your behavior, you feel you have made great progress. The more Western clothes you wear, you feel I am most modern and most advanced and most, you know, upfront and most enterprising. Just by wearing Western clothes and Western style of behavior. And we all should know that it is actually intellectual slavery, Baudhik Gulamgiri, Baudhik Gulami. Not at the body level we are servants and slaves. We are intellectually slaves of a foreign culture which has just completely spoiled and purchased your brain to an extent that you think like them, what to speak of doing and talking like them. You think like them. You be be them. That kind of slavery is there. So we should just, you know, rebel against this intellectual slavery and adopt what we have as rich culture in our country and be proud in following that. We are not against Western culture. What we are against is the tendency of sense gratification which they broadly broadcast through that culture. What is Western culture? Western culture means culture of set of values and behavior minus God. As simple as that. That's all the Western culture is. Even though so-called religiosity is there, it is simply based on sense gratification. They may also believe in Lord, like we all believe in God. But the whole thought process, words and action are simply based on self-aggrandizement and sense gratification. Rest all things are not considered also. There is no goal of life, there is no culture. That is what is Western influence is. And what is Indian culture is? What is Vedic culture? Vedic culture means the Lord is in the center. And your thoughts, words and action are supposed to be based on pleasure of the Lord. In the silence. And Vedic culture is based upon Lord in the center and thoughts, words and actions based on to please the Lord only. The purpose of pleasing the Lord only. And in that pleasure of the Lord, your pleasure follows after that. So thoughts, words and action. And then the way you wear your dresses, the way you speak, the way you behave, everything is based on those values of pleasing the Lord and serving the Lord. And that also consists of the family unit. Vedic culture means a family is an integral part of Vedic culture. The family means there are relatives, mother, father, brother, sisters, and there are uncles, and there is grandmothers and grandfathers. And then there are neighbors, then there is society, and then there is city or town, then there is state, and there is nation. All these things are contributing to the growth of a person. There is old sayings were there in moral science that one requires one whole nation for development of a person. Initially mother, then father, Then grandmother, grandfather, then brothers and sisters, then uncles and aunties, and then your neighborhood, then your society which you belong to, then the state that you belong to, then the nation that you belong to. Everybody has to contribute for your growth. And if everybody is completely disconnected from the Lord and from the culture that we are supposed to be in, then growth doesn't come. Something else comes up, exactly opposite the growth. That is degradation. And as development and advancement and growth is unlimited, even degradation is also unlimited. The higher the values you know of, equally opposite is a degradation. As degraded as the highest point, what you see in the mirror or in the river reflection, the higher the thing is, appears to be lowest of all. The more higher the things are, the more lower they look, appear to be. So it is called perverted or degraded. So this family unit is very important. Of having mother taking care of you, father disciplining you, giving discipline to you. Then grandmother giving some other values to you, grandfather giving some other values to you, uncles and aunties giving you some other values, training you in behavior, in culture. Because of the strong unit of family, there is complete multidimensional growth of a human being. And only in such culture of basic satisfaction in life, basic love tendencies are fulfilled. Love propensities that everybody has, securities, physical security, emotional security that you receive through your mother and father and family members, the culture that you receive, the love that you receive, the service that you receive, the care that you receive in your growing age, years, make you a normal human being who is emotionally fulfilled and not deprived. And when you are fulfilled, normal child, and you grow up, then you can do unlimited contribution to the society and nation eventually. But if you are deprived in your life, as a child, you never got mother to attend to you because she was working, your family was a very nuclear family, so papa also was working, sisters was in school, you were alone with servant at home, and you would only get to see them in the evenings tired, and they were also not able to give much time or quality to you. Then your childhood is very deficient, very much deprived emotionally, physically. You may get all kinds of toys and all kinds of high-tech, you know, playing things, materials with you, which others may not afford. But still, emotional deprivation will take you long way down. And as such, emotionally deprived child then grows up, that deprivation will remain with him forever. He may get afterwards very good wife and very good family, but his childhood deprivations will always remain as deficiencies in his life. It's like that. In our psychology post-graduation that we did in psychological counseling, there was a fixed question will come in every exam of that PGDPC. Full question of 20 marks. Please explain how childhood determines the fate of the nation. What is the connection? Childhood, nation, what is the connection? Because nation is made of people, and people are made from childhood. Childhood is the basis of people. How you are is based upon your childhood. So whatever childhood experiences you have, bad, good, deprivations or sufferings or whatever, all that is your asset you carry with you, negative assets. And they reflect in you everywhere, wherever you go. You get married, you get whatever, you go to college, wherever you go, those things haunt you. And then I say, why this is like this? Oh, childhood, very, very much bad experiences. I can quote so many examples to you of childhood sufferings. Maybe abuse, maybe verbal abuse, maybe physical abuse, maybe to the extent I know one person, he is no more in this world now. He used to work with me in the medical camps in the very early days, 1986-87. That time he was 60-year-old. And he was constantly in mental depression. And whenever I would ask him, we had a very loving relationship. So he would tell me that my uncle would force us and wake us up at 4:30 in the morning for certain rituals at home. And every day, for years after years, he did that to us. And that torture which I went through has made me lose all my confidence in life. I can't take a decision. I can't concentrate. I never could do good in my work. That's why I never married, because I thought I'm a useless person. How can I take a responsibility for a woman and a family? So I never married for that reason. And he's 60-year-old retired government servant. And he still behaves like a child looking for love. And when a little love I offered him, he was so attached to me. He says, I will do anything for you. And you come all the way in my camps, traveling with me, keep all the account of medicines he's had, you know, everything he will maintain, come to my room in the temple and help me. He just wanted to be around me, that's all. And one time what happened, I'll tell you, see how these deprivations are so important in our life, how they affect us, even though you're 60, 70, 40, 50 year old. Why some people at 40, 50 years of old still suck their thumbs in the night? You know this? There's so many husbands and so many fathers who still suck their thumbs in the night when they go to sleep. What is thumb sucking? Is emotional insecurity that makes you suck the thumb. That's why children suck the thumb. Or they do bed wetting in the night. Because they are insecure, they are fearful. They, mommy is not there, father is not there. Whenever I want, they are all out everywhere. I don't get to see them, I don't get to hug them, kiss them. So one time I got a very bad dream, you know, when I was in the camp somewhere in the night. And I got a dream that a big tree is falling on me and my camp people who are volunteers, you know. So he was sleeping next to me. And I woke up in the dream thinking that tree is falling. So he's such a big old man. I just lifted him and I took him away, you know. And I was holding him like this for a long time till I actually woke up and felt what's happening. So all the other people who also woke up, they were all laughing, you know, looking at me, what you are doing, Vishwarup? What is there? Where is the tree? Laughing like making a joke out of it. But this man said a very unique statement. He said, all of you are laughing because he woke me up, lifted me up and holding me up by taking him aside because he loves me. That's why he is doing this to me. He didn't laugh at all, a single time also. But for him, the joking situation of me waking up in dream and doing something stunt in the night was not at all joking for him. But he was perceiving that even in the dream, he wanted me to be saved. So he took that risk of lifting me and waking me and putting me aside and still embracing me so a tree should not fall on me. It is like this. So we need to preserve this family unit very nicely. Don't deprive your children of the love that they deserve and they are supposed to get. The attention, the care, the kindness, and the values that you would give by your association of quality time. And they will not need it after they become 16-year-old. And whatever you have given, if this is deficient, if the deficiency will remain, and then you have all time in the world, they will not need that time from you. They will need that time when they need that time, not when you can give that time. You can't give when they were 5-year-old, whatever time was required, you can't give them at 25 years of old. Now I have all the time in the world. He said, no, Papa, we don't need you anymore. They have different sets of requirements at that time. But the deficiencies will always remain and they will keep reflecting in their youth, in their business or in their job, in their work, in their duties as husband, as father. Everywhere the deficiency will keep on reflecting. And that is why today's youth is all distracted. Why? Because mother is working, father is working, the all-time servants are looking after them, and whatever values they are picking up is only from servant. So what do you expect to make them receive? Their feedings, their bathings, their changing of nappies, everything the servant is doing. A servant is doing out of job, it's not just love, it's only job. She may give love also, but what love mother can give, servant cannot give. And that's why children are lonely, frustrated, addicted. That's why so many people come to me for counseling with their children. Doctor, he's my only son, you know, he's 16-year-old. And all my life, whatever I've done, I've saved everything for him only. But this guy is not sleeping till 3 in the morning. He doesn't go to college. He wakes up at 11:30 in the morning and then he's not studying. He goes out for in the name of college and goes somewhere else and comes back. And then later comes to me that his attendance is 0%. He's never gone to college, never gone to school. We don't know where he goes. Whole night he is working on Facebook and WhatsApp and mails and surfing on the internet. And it's a big problem. And the father and mother feel that we have done so much for this son. No, it's the only son. Everything what we have is for him. Our hard work, our earnings, our everything is we have done for him only. But this guy is not doing anything. All because you think that all my hard work and all my jobs are only for him. And the time that he needs, you are not giving him. And all that you did for him has no meaning for him. Because he needed you. And you gave him things. And he wanted you. So you think I will give things to him, I will make him happy. And for him only I am doing all the sacrifice. You know, I also want to be with him. But foolishly we don't do that. And then the youth gets completely deprived emotionally, then get distracted when they become old, then when adolescents, they become rebellious and then they want to take drugs and they want to go with girls and they want to do all kinds of nonsense things because they just are angry. They don't know what anger is for actually because they can't spell it out, but they are unhappy and they are dissatisfied and they are looking for some adventurous happiness, not some sattvic happiness. And that urge of something adventurous, you know, then leads them to have sex and then drugs and do something nonsense and destroy their precious life. And there is no love. Then when mother needs child has no time for parents. Then such children will not look after you when they become young and you become old. They will just neglect you completely. All things will come back to you. When they needed you, you were not there. When you need them, they will not be there. When they needed you, you gave them servants. And when you will need them, they will put you in old age homes. As simple as that. As simple as that. So you have to invest. In the mango tree, when you plant a mango tree, I think for sometimes 10 years you wait to get a first mango fruit. That too, not the quality that you expect from that tree. So many years you only keep putting water, taking care of it, keep putting fertilizer of cow dung. And after so many years, and the first bahar comes, bahar, no? Bahar aati na? And the first set of mango comes, they're not also best quality. Maybe the next time onwards, they will start giving mangoes too. So many years of investment. And that too, after they start giving mangoes also, only March, April, May, and 9 months again, no fruit from that tree. But then when the fruit comes, you have all the enjoyment in life when that mango fruit comes from your tree. So in the child, what is the, there's no outcome, there's no returns, only investing. But when you invest, then you receive the results of that. Then the children will love you when you need them. When you are emotionally deprived or frustrated or whatever diseases you have, you need somebody, then they will be at your service. If you give love, then love will come. If you give care will come to you. If you give attention will come back to you. If you take care will come to you. Only what you give, it will come to you. If you give hatred, if you give bad words, if you give bad culture, if you give deprivations, all that will come back to you. So if you give love, then the love will come to you. If you give culture, then that culture-based behavior will come back to you in the form of care. So when your children will misbehave with you, don't blame them, only blame yourself. Because you were not correct parents, doing right things for them. Now they have become imperfect, the way you have trained them or raised them up. And whatever you have sown, you are reaping exactly what you have sown. So invest in families. When you have right upbringing, then the child will become normal. When he will be emotionally fulfilled in growing years, then he will be able to do great things for his family, for his society, and for his nation also. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, all of you know what all things he is doing for society. Not only for disciples or his Hare Krishna people, to the world. So many things he is doing actually to uplift the world. Why? Because he said, my mother and my father drowned me in love all my childhood. These are only beautiful lines always he says. He drowned me in love. So all that love that I received, I had to give to the world. Because that's what I received. So what I'm offering to the world is only what I received. If I received hatred and deprivations and bad treatments and sufferings in my childhood, what you can give world? Only those things you can give. Anger and frustration and hatred and all those things that are negative emotions. If you have received them, what will come out of you only is that. And if you have received satisfaction, contentment, love, affection and care, that is the only thing you can give to the world because you don't know anything else but what you received. So love your people. They will be giving you association when you need them. When you invest, those kind of care and culture will come back to you. Your old age will be fulfilled with satisfaction only when you will give your children satisfaction and contentment through your association and service to them. And all the youngsters who are married or just married or about to get married or then later on having children, all of you have to now make up your mind. It's not just coming together and enjoying sense gratification in the name of marriage and license. It's a very serious responsibility to marry and then to become husband and wife and to give birth to children and to live in a family. It's a very serious, that's why just now also Sneha Mataji was requesting me for accepting the proposal of me as a Purohit to marry their daughter and son-in-law, whatever, future. I said, I want to talk to both of them, but how serious a commitment is that? And how serious is the activity of the Vivaha Sanskar? It's not just a ritual. It's a very deep and serious commitment that you are entering into. A lifelong bond of commitment, of love, of service, of sacrifices and love for each other, which will create normal human beings. First two of you and whoever comes out of that. To create normal, happy, content human beings who will then become devotees. If you are not happy, you are deprived emotionally, you cannot become a good devotee. Because even as a devotee, you become a problem to devotee society by your abstract behavior, by your erratic behavior, by your throwing tantrums here and there. Even we have so many devotees. We don't blame them because their childhoods were rough, absolutely rough and amazingly painful. Traumatic is the right word. Traumatic childhood. That's why they become criminals afterwards. When they are traumatized in their childhood, out of anger they become criminals and terrorists afterwards. So, by ignorance, you also might be cultivating one terrorist at your house in the name of your devotional service. Because we think we are serving Krishna actually. You may think I am just in temple, I'm a child of the servant, I've got deity worship, I've got book distribution, I've got this, I've got that, and your little child is deprived of your association, you are doing great service outside. In the end, you will yield a child who will rebel against you when in adolescence and misbehave with you. Maybe he'll become criminal or maybe become completely abstract young man. I know a young couple whose mother was admitted in the hospital, and there are so many nurses in the hospital who are not devotees. Nice, favorable, good nurses who chant Hare Krishna, follow principles, but not like quote-unquote Hare Krishna devotee as such. And they know what we do and what we expect and all. So this young couple, married, their mother got admitted in the hospital. And the nurse would always wait to convey some messages to the daughter-in-law or the son, But never she got them. She always would call them. And then she asked, why are you not coming to see your mother-in-law? I have to tell you this medicine, that medicine is getting over and bills and this and that. There are so many technical things are there. So that devotee Mataji told that nurse, ki, I have got service in temple, so I cannot come. You do the needful, please. So in my spiritual care program, which I conduct for the nurses every week, very reluctantly one day she said, sir, can I ask you a question, sir? I said, yeah. Sir, you will not feel bad, no, sir. I said, no, you talk, whatever is there. She took some time to gather herself, to even ask me. Then she asked me after gathering her courage that, sir, is this right, sir, to do this like this? Mother is admitted in the hospital for last 4 days and not even once that son has come or daughter-in-law has come. And when I kept on inquiring, they said, we have some service in temple. So I did not anyway protect this behavior of a devotee. I said, this is nonsense. Even though a devotee has done it or anybody else has done it, it is utter nonsense. What kind of devotee and what kind of devotion is this? That you neglect your mother and so called you go and serve your Lord. How you think Lord is going to be happy like this? Your mother is suffering. He has borne you in her abdomen for 9 months, raised you, given you life. She's suffering and you're saying, I'm going to serve the Lord. How the Lord is going to be happy? What kind of service is this? Your love for the Lord has to be expressed in your service to your beloveds when they need you. What kind of example you are setting if you are serving the Lord and neglecting your parent? How your parent is going to feel about the Lord also? Even though they are devotees, they will feel, what kind of devotion is this? This is all abnormal, please understand. This is not normal. In the olden days, some devotees were so fanatic, they would be giving birth to their babies and next day pile the baby on the haversack behind, whatever that baby carrier, and go on the road for doing book distribution or whatever they were doing. And then they would keep their children with something and some alone in some crash or something and go to deity worship in a temple. All those children develop hatred to Krishna because they felt, this Krishna has taken my mother and father away from me. I hate this person. Because all the time when I needed my mother and my father were serving this person called Krishna. Or always with him, whatever they were doing with him. So I hate him because he has taken my parents away from me. But in a childhood, they can't spell out everything. When they grow up, as adolescents, they leave Krishna consciousness, go out and do illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, whatever they want to do. As a action of rebellion, an anger they want to express. And you can't tell them anything about Krishna. They just hate Krishna from the bottom of their heart. And what you are thinking? I was serving Krishna. What wrong I did? Yes, you did wrong because you deprived your child of your association. It's like that. So the answer to your question is, all of you youngsters have to think about who we are. What is the glory of our land of our birth? What is that country is offering you? What is our culture? What is the meaning of being Indian? What is the meaning of being Vedic? What is the meaning of being born here? What is expected from us as Indian born people? And what is our duty towards society? Being an Indian, what we have to offer to the world, what is the richness of our culture that we need to offer people through our example. The more and more I travel outside, I only come to one conclusion every time when I come back to India, ki nothing like India, whatever it is, however it is. With all thy faults, India, I love you and I want to be a proud Indian. That should be our consciousness, and learn about what's our heritage and what's our culture, and be proudly follow it in life. Many people may be having great respect for Indian culture, but they may not be firing an iota of that Indian culture. So it's not only useful to be agreeing to whatever our culture is. We have to strongly agree and put in practice, then only we can say, I really believe in my culture. And we have a very, very rich culture which no one in the world has. And to revive that is also part of our Krishna consciousness. It's not just simply following, chanting Hare Krishna and then misbehaving with mother, father and wherever you go. That's not Krishna consciousness. Or when you take money from devotees, you don't return their money from devotees. Or you talk badly with devotees, or misbehave with devotees, do aparads, but very good in doing Ekadashi Vrata and chanting 64 rounds. Perfect in reading scriptures, but don't know how to behave with each other. We will not make any progress in Krishna consciousness. Absolutely not. We may think that we are making progress, but we will not be able to make any progress if we don't make our behavior Krishna conscious. And your behavior will come only because of culture. And we all have to work hard for that because it's in our hands actually. Is it not true? If I don't preach my culture through my behavior, who else should I expect to do that? It's my duty. And when I do that, maybe you will get inspired and you will do that. When you will do that, somebody else will get inspired and they will do that. It's not by great, wonderful, mesmerizing lecture anybody becomes like that. You need still, after that mesmerizing lecture also, you still need an example of how to do it. And then people will be inspired to do something what you have shown them by your example. Yesterday also we were talking what's happening in USA and UK, and whole night we can go on talking how horrible and deadly the atmosphere is there. And people are very happy there. They want to just go and stick there, just stay there, do things like that, do everything. Because in the most worst thing in the Western world, they don't even know what is sin. They think everything is normal. The worst of sins in life, what we consider as worst of them, is like normal way of life for them. They don't even know that eating meat is a sin, having illicit sex is a sin. They don't know that. If it is normal, what is there? Every week I have a different partner. Why I have to get married? It's just spend weekends on dates and everything. What is there? You are happy, I am happy, everybody is happy. What is harm to the world? They don't even know. That is worst thing. That you don't even know what you are doing is wrong. You think everything is normal. There's such ignorance, such depth of ignorance is there and there. Young boys and girls don't know that they are taking marijuana and they are taking so many drugs. They feel it's normal. What is there? Nobody feels anything wrong when the mother gives a 13-year-old girl set of birth control pills. Mother gives, says, take these pills. At least you will not come with the baby in the womb. And this is very normal, they feel. This is like normal when the child gets first menstrual period, mother will honorably give her OC pills. Take this now and continue your life. They don't even know that this is wrong. When they see their 13-year-old girl smoking cigarettes with boys and kissing them on the road, the parents don't even feel that is wrong. That kind of in-depth ignorance and bad culture is there. And we don't even know that we are following that culture actually. We don't even know that this is what we are following in the name of becoming more modern. That's why the family unit is important. When we give love and values to family, then we will come to know this is wrong. It is not good for a young girl to leave their hair open and go out in public. Nobody knows that. All kinds of bad omen which are in this atmosphere, they are caught up by hair, you know. How many people know this? Every single person wants to keep the hair loose and go out. All that bad omens which are there in the atmosphere are caught up by your hair, and that's how your mati gets completely brushed, contaminated. That's why all the ladies always in ancient times tie their hair and cover their hair when they will be in public. They will never exhibit their hair. I'm giving a small example. Like I can give you 51 examples like this or 51 items like this, but I'm giving a small example to you of hair. So when you go in deep, you'll understand our culture is not meaningless, you know. Everything that you do has got meaning behind it. Why we do these things like that? So please see that when you graduate from your schools, from your colleges, from your graduate schools and postgraduate schools, come out with pride for your culture of what you are. Don't be proud of what you are not. Don't develop pride for what you are not supposed to be, you know. You are not a Western person, you are not an American or England or whatever. You are an Indian born, Indian body, Indian blood person. Develop pride for what you are, not what you are for not. If you go to Saudi Arabia, they are so proud of being a Saudi, you know. They look down upon everybody, of course that is wrong also, but they are so proud of being a Saudi. Ana Saudi, Ana fi Saudi. You go to American, being American is such a great pride, you know. If any American dies in some God forsaken country in some mishap, immediately embassy becomes so alerted and so difficult to handle. American embassy, when one of the American citizen dies or gets injured in your country, so many formalities and so many probing questions, and but they value their national people, civil their people. British people, American people, European people, so proud to be whatever their country is, you know, speak their language. You see these German people, Russian people, the presidents also go into the international summits, in the gatherings of international leaders, they'll speak their language only. Others are forced to hear the translation, what translator is doing, but they will speak in their language only. Are we that much, that kind of proud about our culture, our language, our way of dressings? We feel ashamed, we feel great pride in wearing what they are wearing and speak the way they are speaking and think the way they are thinking. That's what we are taking pride in, you know. And we are such a big country with such a ancient culture that we have. Of thousands of years, this culture is behind in ancient times. It's not just 1,000-year-old civilization and 500-year-old civilization. It's a thousands of year old civilization that we have, Aryan Sanskruti. Such rich principles are there in that. Such rich meaning is there in that. Such purpose of life is explained in that. None of these things are there in any of the cultures in the world. They're so shallow and so superficial and so useless in substance. And we have such richness in our culture. And because of not knowing it, we don't even want to think about it, what I am, you know. And why it is not there? Because the childhood is not nourished with these ideas and thoughts and philosophies and principles of life and the behaviors. The childhood where you receive all these things. Yes, Prabhuji.
Can I just continue on this question? In colleges, if someone doesn't wear jeans and t-shirt and doesn't come like that, he'll be considered backward or village sider. Or if someone doesn't go to hospital like profession, so with some particular decoratum, he'll be considered he doesn't keep himself up to date and something like that. So with this scenario, how we can present ourselves? Like we can't go to dhoti kurta and to offices.
Fine, no, it's all right.
Second question of this.
Let me answer the first question first. I don't want to mix up. If you are a professional and your professional environment requires certain dress code, you can still follow that. But you don't want to become extreme of that. Don't get immersed in that as a part of your life. Do it as a duty. The policeman doesn't wear police dress at home when he is with family. No? Does he wear that day and night? No, after he goes home, he removes it immediately and wears his home dress. It's just a part of duty. He doesn't love his uniform. He has to wear it on duty. But when you have to wear that uniform, whatever they dictate you socially, your thought process and behavior should be yours. The way you think and the way you do things ethically and your culture should be manifest through your words and behavior. What about that? What stops you from doing that? I still understand, okay, you wear jeans and go to college. But why you keep your hair and keep your mustache and keep your talks and keep your behavior exactly of, with all that in alignment of that? That is slavery. There is nothing sinful in wearing jeans. I would say, if you are convinced, you will not do that also. But anyway, chalo, koi baat nahi. But after that, why we have to align in their behavior? And the talk, while they talk, the way they do things, we do things. Why we have to do that? Because we don't have conviction. Because we don't have love for our culture. We are slaves. Again and again I am repeating this. We are slaves of that kind of thought process, words and actions and behavior. We don't see what kind of a character it is that when you don't love what you are, and you want to just be in illusion of what you are not, and you start acting as if I love that, you know. Isko khud ka abhiman nahi hai. What is, what kind of value is that? I don't understand how to explain it. English, Marathi, Hindi, I don't know. If you are not proud of what you are, for example, I was born in very simple, low class, low middle class area, and I stayed in one room of 10 by 12 feet, 120 square feet in that room. There has to be bathroom, kitchen and one bed and 10 people staying in that room. That was my background, and I was raised in that situation for 25 years of my life till I became MBBS. Now, I may like to hide everything from you. I don't want anybody to let know my background. Yeah, I lived in a chawl with bathroom in the house itself with no doors in that, and toilets were outside, and most of the nights we were sleeping out of the house in verandas or on the steps or on the terrace. And most of the time there would be riots of swords and water bottles and soda water bottles and swords and tube lights. You know, I will say no, I should know, none of these people should know my background. But I would say, fact is a fact. If I'm not going to broadcast you whenever I meet you what my background is and how I was raised and all. But when I'm tying, I'm not going to hide from you. This is what the fact is. In spite of that, today I have adopted Krishna conscious culture. I've become a doctor and I'm doing so many nice things in my life. So I'm not ashamed of my background. So you may feel India is a country of snake charmers and so you. But people know us as like that only, in country of snake charmers and all. So we should not feel that I'm from that country. So when an Indian goes abroad, now he just wants to hide his Indian situation. He wants to just become as Western as possible. That is such a sad situation. I don't know how to put it in words. Such a degrading situation that you want to, that's why the Indians who are abroad, they are more Americans than the Native Americans. They are more British than the local British. They are more European than the local Europeans. Because they are not, they feel it's great to be like them. It's degrading to be, shameful to be like what we are. We are supposed to be. Isse aur hanan, charitra hanan kiska kaisa ho sakta hai? Khud ke dwara create kiya hua ye charitra hanan hai. Ki I feel myself, my background, my existence so degraded that I want to completely kill it. Hide it as possible, kill it if possible, and just be like you, who are so great in their skin and in their money and their facilities. So nothing stops you, even though you have to wear jeans and all these things. You can maintain your verbal and behavioral culture, aligning with your great heritage. That's why first 2 days, I went in my leadership conference in suit and tie and pant, and today I went in dhoti kurta. And they all were so happy, and they praised me so much in the last 3 days, and today also they praised me like anything, praised Radhanath Maharaj in the process and everything. And they said, we want to do it, but we cannot do it. We are not so convinced about it. So that's why there's no conviction and I can't do it. But we are so happy that you are living a different kind of life. We are very happy to see you with some difference in life. And they know, okay, they also belong to the same thing, but they don't have that guts and conviction to follow it. And I must tell you, not boastingly, but I must tell you, when I was the only student in my college, when I was 19 years old, in JJ Hospital, the only student who took up Krishna consciousness, even when I was alone, I used to go with Tilak in college and be back. And I'll tell you how it was so useful. You know, I was then we preached and many doctors became devotees, and now Hare Krishna is a very buzzword in JJ Hospital. You know, Hare Krishna is like a very popular, and lot of people are, hundreds of devotees are there in college students and all. So now it's like no taboo. And those I was alone in thousands of students in college. And I used to go to my class with bead bag in hand, and with tilak I would go. In all classes and everywhere I would go. Okay. So then one Dr. Dalal, madam, joined PG in microbiology and joined as tutor, the lowest position in post-graduation. And we were students, so we would go in the laboratory and she would teach us the microbiology laboratory work and everything. Gradually she became lecturer, then she became professor. And then one day she became dean of the college. By the time we were out and wherever we were doing things. And one day I was called in Jeju Hospital as a chief guest for Janmashtami celebrations. So I went. Maybe I was at the time 40 years old, 42 years old. And Dalal madam also was called as from college side, you know, some. So it was dean that time. So she was called also. And we shared same dais. And I gave my lecture and she also gave her lecture. And then all the students arranged for us a separate room for Mahaprasadam and table and chair, very respectable arrangement and all. So naturally, I'm a GM side, I'm a same college student. And she is same college ki dean. So naturally, we started talking to each other. And she said, you know, when I was a tutor, you know, I joined JJ as a PG student. There was this boy, you know, used to be coming always in the class with bead bag and tilak and everything. And she was telling, you know, I was always see him everywhere. So I heard for some time. And they said, madam, I am that student. So you see, as a tutor, she had an impression that somebody is coming with tilak and bead bag in hand. Now, you are not ashamed of smoking and doing all nonsense things in the college. Why should I be ashamed of being a devotee of Krishna when I am free from all vices? But such people feel ashamed to exhibit their devotional service. And people will not feel ashamed to do all nonsense things in the hospital and college. So I felt so happy. And she was so much startled. Hey, you are the student. I said, yes, madam. Then I was in GT hospital doing my housemanship training. And then one medical officer went on leave. And 1 month was his leave was there. And anybody could have taken that MBBS. You can take his post for 1 month. And you get a government salary for 1 month. His replacement salary. So I applied for that post. So for that signature, I had to go to the DHS, Directorate of Health Services of Maharashtra. And there was a ADHS, Additional Director of Health Services of Maharashtra, whose signature I required to approve that I can be appointed. So again, I was with Tilak and Kanti Mala and Hare Krishna Mahamantra, pants shirt, but Mala leke, I went entered inside room. So he looked at me like this. He was sitting on table, I was standing. He said, why you guys are exhibiting your devotion to Krishna? Why you have to just exhibit like this, you know, in public? So spontaneously, with no plan, spontaneously answered, sir, in those days the Michael Jackson was quite famous in youngsters, you know. They would wear Michael Jackson back and forth and like that. Michael Jackson was like, I don't know today who is the person, but he was like that.
Icon.
Icon, yeah. Everybody would, you know, whatever, imitate him or whatever. I said, when people wear Michael Jackson t-shirt and keep hairstyle like him and keep behave like him and all, you have no problems. When they exhibit their love for Michael Jackson, when I exhibit my love for Krishna openly, why you have a problem? He was a big, big boss, huh, madam. But I just straight answered to him, immediately said, yes, yes, I believe in you. Immediately, he said. Immediately. I said, when people are exhibiting their love for heroines and film stars and politicians and everything in their own body, you have no problems. But I exhibit my love for Krishna through my tilak and my bead bag, you have problems. And he became devotee. And his name is Akrur Das Prabhu. Because then onwards, like, you know, the way boldly I answered him back, he was like, he completely mouth shut. Immediately signed my paper. I got that 1 month locum. And then he happened to be living in the same quarters where I was living. I was on student postgraduate quarters. He was in the ADHS quarters on the higher floors. So I started meeting in lift. So I gave him books, then I preached him, and I started going to his room to chant Hare Krishna. Then we had morning chanting sessions, then Mangal Arati, then Radhanath Swami, then initiation, sab kuch ho gaya unka pura. Had I not answered him that time boldly, and then I'll reflect now, I could have only answered all those things, what I answered, only because of the conviction I had. If I was not convinced enough, I wouldn't have answered him. So you need to develop conviction. And don't be ashamed of your culture. Be proud of it. Don't even be neutral about it. Be proud about it. But today's seminar conference which I attended was a very high level, you know, India heads and CEOs of companies. They were there. Two from Kolkata, one from Bhubaneswar, something like that. One channel chief was there, South India Kerala Channel chief, Asianet Visual Media chief, chief executive officer, and I was one of them. And every single day in the leadership, whatever they said, who's your ideal and what did you see in the ideal, why you like him. So every time Radhana Swami was coming up in my presentations, and everybody bought Journey Home book and Bhagavad Gita's, you know. Now if I was suppose hiding, I wouldn't have gone with Tilak and I didn't want to exhibit I'm a devotee, then nothing would have happened to them. But 3 days, they were simply hearing about Radhana Swami and so many things in various professional ways, you know. Why should we be ashamed of what we are doing? Why we are not convinced about what we are doing? When you get married, suppose, are you ashamed that I am married to a woman, I feel so shy, you know, to go in public? You know? No, because you are convinced, this is my wife. I'll hold her hand and walk with her on the road. I'll tell everybody she is my wife. I love her very much and everything. I'm not ashamed. Because you're convinced, okay, I need to get married and this is my wife and I married with her, you're not ashamed. But when you marry with Krishna as a devotee, why you're ashamed? What kind of love and relationship is that with Krishna when you're ashamed of telling people that I serve Krishna, I'm a devotee of Krishna? You don't have to exhibit your inner emotions for Krishna. That's not allowed in devotional culture. But why are you ashamed in telling people that I'm a devotee of Krishna? Why have to hide your Krishna consciousness? Every day Mataji was sending me tiffin and I was eating my own prasadam separately. They were talking of themselves. See, he is not only talking, he is following what he is talking. He told us, I don't eat all these things. And we can see that he is not eating anything of these things. In between the seminar, there was time in between and they were doing some exercise. Our exercise were done. So we heard some 15 minutes. Immediately I took up mala and started chanting Hare Krishna up and down. Again I heard them talking. It's a way of lifestyle, it's not just philosophy. They're talking among themselves. This is a way of lifestyle. See, he is not wasting any time. He is using his time to chant the holy name of the Lord. You know what strong messages you are passing by that? They will feel ashamed, ki, I am not able to do this thing. What is the use of my position? Then one guy told me, actually, Dr. Shanbhag, you know, what I am doing is not what I like to do. But I am just fully engrossed and fully captured by my profession and by my position and my responsibilities, you know. But I don't love to do what I am doing now. I will really love to do what you are doing. So he is coming to Mayapur to meet me whenever I go there now. He has bought Srimad Bhagavatam set, full. I have to just deliver it to him. So point is that if you are ashamed, what they will receive? You are proud, and you are not proud means you have great convictions about it. So don't be an ashamed devotee. Be a proud devotee and behave in a very exemplary manner to wherever you go and give that faith to others in what you are doing. Don't live like a shy cat, you know, in Krishna consciousness. Be like a lion, a lioness, and tell people what glorious life we are living. How proud we are, and we want you to be also a proud follower of this. Even amongst devotees, don't feel ki I'm a ISKCON follower in a foreign country institution. Many people feel ki they will not like to say I'm ISKCON devotee, but they feel ki people will feel all foreigners, you know, why they should follow foreigner devotees, and my guru is a foreigner, you know, I'm not declaring to people. Tell boldly everybody, whatever it is the facts are, and convince people. And at least they may not get convinced, but you should be convinced yourself. If my relatives come to me, you know, my relatives are all Gaud Saraswat Brahmins of South India, in the caste of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. In that caste I am born. I came to know after late, long time. I didn't know it earlier. So my caste people will tell, why you have to go to foreign guru? We have gurus in our caste, bona fide gurus. So then I can immediately feel ashamed or I can run away from this situation if I am not convinced now. So I told them to consider guru as foreigner or Indian is a great offense, that you don't understand you are not this body. You know, Nara, to consider deity as a stone, to consider guru as material, and one more thing is there. It's the most detrimental thing to your spiritual life. If you ever think guru to be ordinary person, ordinary mortal, and deity to be stone, then the worst aparad you are doing in life. So if you understand that your guru is a foreign body person and you feel ashamed for it, already degradation started in your life. If you are not able to justify and convince others what you have done. And every Indian will tell you that, you know, why foreign guru? We have so many in India. I said there is a bona fide guru in our community. But that bona fide advanced personality could not tell one person in my caste to give up fish and give up smoking. They are all around him for all the time to come for years together. And he could not order them to give up their useless smoking and eating fish. So I didn't feel inspired by that. And I was a fish eater and an ardent fish eater. But I got answers in the first visit only to ISKCON and I gave up immediately. So I don't want to be amongst the people who are hypocrites and who are like, you know, show bottle devotees and doing all nonsense things only to go to Guru, touch his feet and take blessings to earn more and more money and be successful in life, in sense gratification. Again and again, do donations and give, touch his feet and get money. I should get money. I'm not inspired to be among such people. Here I got some principles, some values. So what, they're foreigners. I learned Bhagavad Gita from foreigners first. And I felt ashamed. It's my scripture of my country, of my nation, of my Lord in India. And I'm learning that from a pure Westerner. Pronouncing the shloka perfectly on Sunday afternoon and giving classes to all the educated people on Sunday afternoon in Juhu temple. I said, I must be preaching this. Why should I be listening? But I was very respectful to them. And that was the impetus for me to actually take up this seriously. So, all the foreigners who have done sense gratification to ulterior level, they are come to know that there is nothing in that. Now they are turning to the East and becoming Krishna conscious and wearing your saris and taking your pallus and putting your bindis and covering their hair and tying up their hair and absolutely like Vedic woman, they come to Mangal Arati. And we as devotees also want to dress like them, what they have given up, and imitate them. So you'll find Indians from Agra and Mathura and whatever people coming in jeans and tights and loose hair, and the Westerners coming with all saris and full bindi laga ke bada, and then Mangal Sutra and babies with tilak and shaved head and shikha, babies, you know, white gold, golden babies in hand. Such a contrast it is, right? In Indian Vrindavan temples, you see this scene. All localites and Agra fellow, Delhi fellows are coming fully in jeans and tights and everything. And the Westerners who come far away from 10,000 miles are following, which is ashaming all of us when you look at them. Driving on cycle with dhoti kurta and with shikha, with babies on shikha and tilak. Sometimes wife on the cycle driving sadis and all. You have to tell an Indian girl who is a devotee to cover her head, she will not like it. She will not say, I don't want to cover my hair. But the same Western lady will do immediately. So we have to question ourselves, where are we going? What are we doing actually? What kind of example we are setting in front of those foreigners who have come here and adopting your culture physically and socially? Is it not true? We have to inspire them by your physical appearance and your behavior and your words and action. And we are putting them to shame looking at us. What is this? So we have to wake up to understand again what I said in the beginning, who we are and what are we doing and why we have to follow their culture. It's a must for a social some function or whatever for that much time, but you should be not happy within to do that and immediately get back to your own style of living as soon as you go into your environment. If it is a must for you to earn money, I understand. But we do it 24 hours a day. What we have to do in the office, because we are not convinced about what we are doing. So we end here, or it's getting late. I have to just rise one flight and go to bed. You have to go far away. Is there any question? Yeah, maybe he has asked long time back. Yes, Prabhuji.
Your initial topic was about holy name. So many instructions, many times we hear about it, listen about it, but still. to chant with that this is an urgency, or we should be really, really absorbed. That doesn't, this personally doesn't get me so far. So how can we really come to that stage, or that kind of a, at least what is that conviction that yes, this is the most urgent and most important thing in my life, and I must do it with full of my attention. At least I should put full of my.
Make some program where you can come together in some frequency. 15 days, whatever, once in a month, or Ekadashi, or a festival, or whatever holiday, bank holiday, public holiday, whatever suits you. Make some frequency where you come together and chant. There's a group in Bombay, in Borivali. They are just looking for some days, you know, and they will immediately, any holiday comes, 64 rounds. 128 rounds. On Haridas Thakur's appearance day, 192 rounds. From 4 in the morning till 11 in the night, this group of 25-30 people chanting. And that is once in a year or something, but 64 rounds very often, when there is holiday comes, they will all come together at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then they will take breakfast and lunch and maybe dinner also sometimes, if that chanting is not over, they will chant. Develop taste of the holy name. And some guys will get up and do 30 rounds and go away. Some people will go 50 rounds and go away. It's not a joke to chant 50 rounds. Yeah. But when you develop that taste for doing once in a while 50 rounds, you develop good taste for 16 rounds at least. That much taste will come in you. So we keep saying, you know, what to do, how to do, so I'm not getting it. But you have to prove it by action that I want to do it actually, 16 rounds nicely. So make a plan. What is stopping you? There's so much group has come here. Someday you come together and chant. You develop taste for that. Unless you have association of people who are doing the same things, how will you develop taste for that? You are all time in Oracle. Constantly you have to complete your targets weekly, monthly, quarterly, whatever possible frequencies are there, all are existing there. That many targets are there, na, for you. Weekly, daily, fortnightly, monthly, quarterly, yearly, year-end. Every time I ask you, you always tell me that I have got my now year-end targets, and then we'll say my quarterly targets. The way we work in professional world, the same way we have to work in Krishna consciousness. How you are so much adept with this culture of reporting to your authorities with your results of your performance, monthly, weekly and quarterly and all. We have to do same thing for Krishna consciousness also. Do that on the auspicious days, come together and chant holy name. You're already doing it. On Ekadashi, you go for kirtans in the night. So we have to do all kinds of possible means. It's like if you want something and it's difficult to get it and you are convinced I want it, then you will go do anything for it, right? I'm sure you don't like the work that you're doing. I'm sure about it, the way the things are going on. But if you want to maintain your family, you are doing it, no? Anyway, against your will, big austerity you're taking up, driving all the way to 2 hours and working for so many hours, not going for any yatras, not going for any things, and doing so many hard works. But you are working, no? Because you want it. So why don't you work in a similar way for Krishna? Nothing's to stop you if you're convinced about it. In one line, the answer is, be with like-minded people and do the same activities what you want to develop taste for. That's all. Yes, what is your question, Prabhuji?
When you are talking about the sound, the vibration, sound, everybody can chant. How can the person who is deaf and dumb, who can't hear the sound,
sound is called as audible and inaudible. If you go into acoustics, then you will come to know there is a certain frequency from which you start hearing, and there is a certain frequency beyond which your head, ear will become deaf. There is a frequency, right? And 60 decibels is supposed to be loud and disturbing to your eardrums and like that. So you have a audible sound range which you hear. But does that mean that there is no sound below that? The sound frequencies below that are pursued by cats and dogs and lions and elephants, and they hear what you can't hear. Does that mean below that there is no sound vibration? Even below their lowest frequency of audibility, there are sound vibrations. They are called as ultrasound. There is something called ultrasound, and we have infrasounds. I am not very technical in that, but I know this principle. Then there is sound in silence also. There is sound within you also, which is not audible. Don't you speak to yourself in the mind? Who is hearing that? Which frequency is that? And no one is able to hear. Your wife can't understand what you're talking to yourself in the mind. While eating food, you're talking to yourself in the mind. Isn't that sound? Do you sing in your mind sometimes? Or do you just memorize some Hare Krishna dhyun that you heard in some programs? It just goes on in your mind. Aren't you actually hearing that time? What is that? It's also a sound.
But that sound has, I have received that sound, so that's why I'm...
Exactly. But that received sound was audible, but what you are memorizing is inaudible. Right? So what was your question you asked me?
The person who is not able to hear...
So I am coming to that point now. So when I met one deaf and dumb person in the hotel only. He told me by his sign language that he can't hear and speak, but he can read, he said. So what is reading? It's also hearing. Subtle sound. So if you can read, that means you are hearing. What you are hearing means you are hearing sound only. So there are many methods of communication through sound only, which are not exactly in the conventional methods that you understand. There are sounds which are not conventional also, which are not known to human beings. That doesn't mean sound doesn't exist. Sound exists within you also. In your deepest silence, you can hear the message of the Lord. That is why it is said, no material things can become impediment in the process of Siddha Bhakti. Rupa Goswami's statement is that nothing material can stop you from becoming devotee of Krishna or performing Siddha Bhakti or Naam Sadhana. There are so many deaf and dumb devotees, you know that? So many deaf and dumb devotees are there. And they chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds a day. But their japa is not like your japa and my japa. There is something called as maukhik, that is loud, something called as upamsha, that is soft, and something called as manasik. In manasik japa, where there is sound? There is no sound. But there is still sound that the soul can perceive. So this sound is a very deep and very esoteric and very sublime principle in life. Please understand. What we understand sound is only gross, what we are talking and what you are going through the speaker. But sound is a very beautiful, very spiritual, very sublime and esoteric principle in our life. And you take the full advantage of that sound of the holy name of the Lord, your life also become sublime, esoteric and more spiritual. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, sorry for my harsh words, but this is what I feel like. So I tell in the same way. Be proud of what you are doing. Don't be ashamed. Chalo Prabhupada ki jai.